ஓம் கணச்சிமிகந்தஸ்ய ஜனார்ஜனா சுலகயா சக்ஷு சுமிரச்சந்தேனேஸ்வரமாய் ஸ்ரீகிருதே நமா. ஸ்ரீ சைத்தானிய மனோபீஷ்டாம் ஸ்தபித்தம் தேன பூத்தலே சாயம் ரூபகதம் அந்த தக்தி ஸ்தாபனம் வன்ஷ கபதுபஸ்டா கிருபதந்து பயிர்புச்சா பதித்தலம் பபினேஜோ வைஷ்ணமேஜோ நமோ நமா. Does anyone remember what Harish Chandra's son's name was? Rohita. Harish Chandra is famous, famous king. Why is he famous?
Because he gave everything,
He gave everything in charity to Vishwamrita, like that? Yes? His truthfulness. Is there some drama written about Harish Chandra, a famous one? By whom? So his son's name was Rohita. Sukadeva Goswami is continuing. This is Canto 9, Chapter 8, Text 1. The son of Rohita was Harita, and Harita's son was Champa. 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 generations, just like that. Champa, who constructed the town of Champapuri. The son of Champa was Sudevi, 5 generations. Whose son was Vijay, 6 generations. The son of Vijay was Baruka, 7. Baruka's son was Vrika, 8. And Vrika's son was Bahuka. The enemies of King Bahuka took away all his possessions, and therefore the king entered the order of Anuprastha and went to the forest with his wife. Bahuka died when he was old, and one of his wives wanted to die with him, following the sati rite. At that time, however, Orva Muni, knowing her to be pregnant, forbade her to die. Knowing that she was pregnant, the co-wives of the wife of Bahuka, so this is 9, 10 generations from Harish Chandra passing just like that, we think our life so long and so significant and so important, but 10 generations pass like that. In the 3rd canto of the Bhagavatam, there is an incredible build-up of time, starting by defining time in relationship to the combination of three atoms into a molecule. How long that takes is defined as a tree something or other. And then time is built up based on that minimal or foundational measurement until the length of the life of Lord Brahma, which is incredibly long. And then it describes that the life of Lord Brahma, which is practically incalculably long, and certainly even if we could calculate it in numbers, we couldn't conceive of what it would be like to live for that length of time. But that length of Lord Brahma's life is compared to a flash of lightning over the ocean. A flash of lightning over the ocean. And it's gone. And here we are, as the generations pass and pass and pass and pass. So, the wives of this Bahuka, the co-wives, they wanted to poison this one wife who was forbidden to engage in the sati ritual by Orva Muni, because they were envious of her. So when we look at life in relationship to an actual length of time compared to eternity, we can see that if someone possesses something for a tenth of a second, then what is the use of being envious or jealous? They're going to lose it too. Whatever we have, we will lose. We gain, we lose, we gain, we lose. But all the amount of time is insignificant. So this is actually very foolish. Of course, envy isn't an emotion that springs from our intelligence and just telling us that we're foolish for our jealousy and envy doesn't necessarily stop it from existing. Because it exists in the heart where envy truly resides due to our envy of Krishna. Our turning our back on Krishna. Bhule si jeev anadiya bahimuk. But in any case, these co-wives conspired to give her poison with her food, but it did not act. Instead, the son was born along with the poison, therefore he became famous as Sagara, one who is born with poison. Sagara, with poison. Sagara later became the emperor. The place known as Ganga Sagar was excavated by his sons. Sagar Maharaj, following the order of his spiritual master, Urva, did not kill the uncivilized men like the Talanjangas, Yavanas, Sakas, Haihayas, and Babaras. Instead, some of them he made dress awkwardly, and some of them he shaved clean but allowed to wear mustaches. Some of them he left wearing loose hair, some he half-shaved, and some he left without underwear, and some without external garments. Thus, these different clans were made to dress differently. King Sagara did not kill them. So there's no more mention of any details about that. Following the instructions of the great sage Urva, Sagara Maharaj performed Aswamedha sacrifices and thus satisfied the Supreme Lord, who is the Supreme Controller, the Supersoul of all learned scholars, and the knower of all Vedic knowledge, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that was the purpose of his performing of the sacrifice, Dagyavai Vishnu. Sacrifices are meant to satisfy the Supreme Lord. In our life, we possibly don't perform many fire sacrifices, but everyone performs sacrifices. We sacrifice one thing for another. We sacrifice our youthful energy, possibly to earn money, to gain education, to organize our family. We're sacrificing one thing to gain something else. But what is the ultimate thing that we should try to gain through our sacrificing? And that is the pleasure of Krishna. And the pleasure of Krishna, the processes of acting for the pleasure of Krishna, that is called bhakti yoga. So sacrifice is an inherent part of bhakti yoga. And in Kali Yuga, the sacrifice that pleases Krishna is Sankirtan Jagya, the sacrifice of the chanting of Krishna's names. So this sacrifice was meant to please Krishna, this Aswamedha sacrifice, but Indra, the king of heaven, stole the horse meant to be offered at the sacrifice. King Sagar had two wives, Sumati and Keshini. The sons of Sumati, who were very proud of their prowess and influence, following the order of their father, searched for the lost horse. While doing so, they dug the earth very extensively. Thereafter, in the northeastern direction, they saw the horse near the ashram of Kapila Muni. "Here is the man who has stolen the horse," they said. Because even though they were born of Sumati, Sumati means auspicious intelligence, they were proud. They were proud of their power, their prowess, their influence. So this caused them great trouble, as we shall soon find out. So they saw Kapila Muni, who we heard of in the third canto of the Bhagavatam. He is the Lord, the son of Kardama Muni and Devahuti. The Lord incarnated as their son to teach the philosophy of Sankhya to his mother, Devahuti. So he has an ashram in Ganga Sagara. Where is Ganga Sagara? How far from Bay of Bengal? From where? From Calcutta? Oh, from Mayapur. You think in terms of how far everything is from Mayapur. That is wonderful. Very good. How far is Perth from Mayapur? Very far. Just across the ocean. So 300 kilometers south in the Bay of Bengal.
Yes, south.
South, west, east. East, yes. Have you been, Ganga Sagar? And they have a big festival there.
Yes.
Once a year on Kapila Muni's.
November to December. First November, they said, called Magisan.
Magisan.
Yeah. First month, to look at it, November or November, December.
But there's one day when everyone's people from all over gather, a big, big festival in this Ganga Sagar at Kapila Dev's ashram, and they worship Kapila Muni. But in any case, these sons of Sumati, proud, when they saw Kapila Muni, they were searching for the horse, and they found the horse that Indra had taken. But when they were proud and said, here is the man who has stolen the horse, about Kapila Muni, who was the Lord. He is staying there with closed eyes. He was in meditation. Certainly he is very sinful. Kill him. Kill him. Shouting like this, the sons of Sagara, 60,000 altogether, raised their weapons. When they approached the sage opened his eyes. By the influence of Indra, the king of heaven, the sons of Sagara had lost their intelligence and disrespected a great personality. Consequently, fire emanated from their own bodies and they were immediately burnt to ashes. It is sometimes argued that the sons of King Sagar were burned to ashes by the fire emanating from the eyes of Kapila Muni. This statement, however, is not approved by great learned persons. For Kapila Muni's body is completely in the mode of goodness and therefore cannot manifest the mode of ignorance in the form of anger, just as the pure sky cannot be polluted by the dust of the earth. So there's a purport in text 11 that we'll read, a short purport by Srila Prabhupada. The material body is a combination of earth, water, fire, air, and ether. There is already fire within the body, and our practical experience is that the heat of this fire sometimes increases and sometimes decreases. The fire within the bodies of the son of Sagara Maharaj became so much hotter that all of them burned to ashes. The fire's increased heat was due to their misbehavior towards the great personality. Such misbehavior is called Maha Vyatikrama. They were killed by the fire of their own bodies because of insulting a great personality. That means Vyatikrama Hatta, defeated by the fault of insulting Mahatta, great personality. They had transgressed great etiquette and therefore they had committed a great blunder and therefore they died. But it wasn't due to the anger from his eyes, Kapila Muni's eyes, because he's transcendental. There's no question of anger. Kapila Muni, this is text 13. Kapila Muni enunciated in this world the Sankhya philosophy, which is a strong boat with which to cross over the ocean of nations. Indeed, a person eager to cross the ocean of the material world may take shelter of this philosophy. And such a greatly learned person situated on the elevated platform of transcendence, how can there be any distinction between enemy and friend? So he didn't see them as enemies in any way and get angry at them. No. Prabhupada's purport. One who is promoted to the transcendental position, Brahma-bhuta, is always jubilant, prasanatma. He is unaffected by the false distinctions between good and bad in the material world. Therefore, such an exalted person is sama-sarveshu-bhuteshu. That is to say, he is equal towards everyone, not distinguishing between friend and enemy. Because he's on the absolute platform, free from material contamination, he is called Paratma-bhuta or Brahma-bhuta. Kapila Muni, therefore, was not at all angry at the sons of Sagara Maharaj. Rather, they were burnt to ashes by the heat of their own bodies. Among the sons of Sagara Maharaj, this is text 14, was one named Asamanjasa, who was born from the king's second wife, Keshini. The son of Asamanjasa was known as Asumam, And he was always engaged in working for the good of Sagar Maharaj, his grandfather. Formerly, in his previous birth, Asamanjasa had been a great mystic yogi. But by bad association, he had fallen from his exalted position. Now, in this life, he was born in a royal family and was a Jati Smara. He had the special advantage of being able to remember his past birth. Nonetheless, he wanted to display himself as a miscreant, and therefore he would do things that were abominable in the eyes of the public and unfavorable to his relatives. He would disturb the boys sporting in the river Sarayu by throwing them in the depths of the water. So he did horrible things, and everyone rejected him for that reason. And therefore he could be alone, and he was a great mystic yogi, and he had fallen in his previous life, he had fallen because of bad association, so he wanted to avoid all association, so he acted in a particular way so people would reject him. If you reject someone, if you're the one who rejects someone, the tendency is for that person to become more attracted to you. Feel bad that you rejected him, and then he'd become attracted to you. So renunciation is very attractive. So therefore, rather than attracting people to him by rejecting everyone, what he did was act in such a way that everyone rejected him, criticized him and rejected him. So therefore, he didn't have to be bothered anymore with association with people. And that way he could tend to his own business. Because Asamanjasa engaged in such abominable activities, his father gave up affection for him and had him exiled. Then Asamanjasa exhibited his mystic power by reviving the boys and showing them to the king and their parents. After this, Asamanjasa left Ayodhya. That's where the king was residing. So he killed the boys by throwing them in the deep water. Then the father became angry, exiled him. Then he brought them back to life and said, okay, here they are, don't worry. He did that by his mystic powers, but then he left. Purport. Asamanjasa was Jati Smara. Because of his mystic power, he did not forget his previous consciousness. Thus he could give life to the dead. By exhibiting wonderful activities in relation to the dead children, he certainly attracted the attention of the king and the people in general. Then he left that place immediately. O King Parikit, when all the inhabitants of Ayodhya saw that their boys had come back to life, they were astounded. And King Sagara greatly lamented the absence of his son. Thereafter, Amsuman, the grandson of Maharaj Sagara, was ordered by the king to search for the horse. He had been performing an Ashwamedha sacrifice. Indra had stolen away the horse. He wanted the horse back to continue the sacrifice. So he sent Amsuman, his grandson. Following the same path traversed by his uncles, Amsuman gradually reached the stack of ashes and found the horse nearby. The great Amsuman saw the sage named Kapila, the saint who is an incarnation of Vishnu, sitting there by the horse. Amsuman offered him respectful obeisances, very different from his uncles. He folded his hands and offered him prayers with great attention. I'll read the prayers. Amsuman said, "My Lord, even Lord Brahma is to this very day unable to understand your position, which is far beyond himself, either by meditation or mental speculation. So what to speak of others like us who have been created by Brahma in various forms as demigods, animals, human beings, birds and beasts? We are completely in ignorance. Therefore, how can we know you who are the transcendence?" Again, we can't help but thinking that this is in Canto 9, which is the very canto preceding Canto 10, where Krishna's pastimes are going to be described. So everything is leading up to Krishna. So important that we learn these lessons, because soon we will hear about Krishna. So what is the lesson from this verse? That even Lord Brahma, the most intelligent, topmost person, cannot or doesn't have the ability to understand the position of the Supreme Lord. What to speak of insignificant, tiny, less intelligent creatures such as ourselves. Therefore, how can we, he says, who are in the material world, covered and controlled by the modes of material nature, covered so deeply in illusion, covered by material coverings, misidentifications, etc., how is it possible for us to understand the infinite transcendental Lord? Because we see things according to our own mind, and therefore we may say, when looking at the Lord, or like the sons of the king said, he looked at them, at Krishna, Kapilamuni, and with the horse nearby, and projected something, saying he must have stolen it because the horse is there. So something in their mind, actually they were bewildered by Lord Indra, which caused that. But it was, they were only really seeing their own minds, Atmavan Manyate Jagat. They weren't seeing the Lord. So one has to be free from the material energy actually to actually see Krishna. So he says, how can we understand you who are the transcendence? Prabhupada's purport. Icha dvesha samutena dvandva mohena bharata savabhutani sammoham sargayante panantapa. O son of Bharata, Arjuna, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, overcome by the dualities of desire and hate. Delusion. We want, we don't want. All living beings in the material world are influenced by the three modes of material nature. Even Lord Brahma is in the mode of goodness. Similarly, the demigods are generally in the mode of passion, and living entities lower than the demigods, such as the human beings and animals, are in the mode of ignorance, or in mixed goodness, passion, and ignorance. Therefore, Amsaman wanted to explain that because his uncles who had burnt to ashes were under the modes of material nature, they could not understand that Lord Kapiladev. They could not understand Lord Kapiladev. Because you are beyond even the direct and indirect intelligence of Lord Brahma. He prayed, unless we are enlightened by your lordship, it will not be possible for us to understand you. And this is actually the process of bhakti, trying to become very receptive to Krishna's mercy so that we can understand the Lord and serve Him. Atapite deva padam bhuja dvaya prasara leshan nanugrita evahi janati tattvam bhagavan mahimno Nachanya eko apicharam vichinvan. My Lord, if one is, this is Lord Brahma's prayer that's being quoted from the 14th chapter of the 10th canto. My Lord, if one is favored by even a slight trace of the mercy of your lotus feet, he can understand the greatness of your personality. But those who speculate to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are unable to know you, even though they continue to study the Vedas for many years. The Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, can be understood by one who is favored by the Lord. The Lord cannot be understood by others. So the process of bhakti is the process of acting in such a way to evoke the causeless mercy of the Lord upon us, to melt his heart so that he becomes merciful. Otherwise, we cannot understand. Text 22. My Lord, he continued. So he's already said that we can't understand you. My Lord, you are fully situated in everyone's heart. But the living entities, covered by the material body, cannot see you. For they are influenced by the external energy conducted by the three modes of material nature. Their intelligence being covered by sattva-gun, rajagun, and tamagun, goodness, passion, and ignorance. They can only see the actions and reactions of these three modes of material nature. We cannot see beyond the boundaries of these modes due to the covering. Because of the actions and reactions of the mode of ignorance, whether the living entities are awake or asleep, they can only see the workings of material nature. They cannot see your lordship. So this theme is brought up many times in the Bhagavatam. Anta bihira vastita. On Kunti Devi, praise to the Lord. You are everywhere, but yet Maya Javani Katsanam cannot see you, despite the fact that you're everywhere. Why? Because the curtain of Maya covers our eyes, and if a curtain covers our eyes, all we can see is the curtain. The curtain is the material energy, and we cannot see He who is beyond that material energy, beyond the curtain, and that is the Lord. Purport. Unless one is situated in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, one is unable to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is situated in everyone's heart. However, because the conditioned souls are influenced by material nature, they can see only the actions and reactions of material nature, but not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One therefore must purify himself internally and externally. Apavitra pavitro va sava vastam gato piva yat smaret pundarikaksham na bhaya sabhaya abhyantara suci. To keep ourselves externally clean, we should bathe 3 times daily. And for internal cleanliness, we must cleanse the heart by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Then, the point being, then we'll be able to see. The members of the Krishna consciousness movement must always follow this principle. Bhaya abhyantara suci. Then it will one day be possible to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face, to keep oneself clean. Outside, bathing, inside, chanting. And then the coverings will be removed. Cleanliness is the process of removing the covering of dirt. So the first verse that the Amsaman said was that no one can understand you. Second verse, no one can see you. And it's due to the coverings of the modes of material nature. And when we look, even if we're looking at God, all we see is those coverings, because it's our eyes that are covered. Our consciousness is covered and we can't see beyond that. So who can see? Prabhupada said it in his purport, and this verse will explain it further. O my Lord, sages free from the influence of the 3 modes of material nature, sages such as the 4 Kumaras, Sanat, Sanak, Sanandan, and Sanatan, are able to think of you who are concentrated knowledge. How can an ignorant person like me think of you? Ignorant means in darkness, it means covered. Sage means in light, in knowledge, uncovered, pure, free, liberated. So great sages can see the Lord and actually think of Him. But we, within the prison or the covering or the curtain of the modes of material nature, cannot. We only see that curtain. Purport. The word Swabhava refers to one's own spiritual nature or original constitutional position. When situated in his original position, the living entity is unaffected by the modes of material nature. Sagunan samatityaitan brahmabhuyaya kaupate. As soon as one is freed from the influence of the 3 modes of material nature, he is situated on the Brahman platform, on the spiritual platform. Vivid examples of personalities thus situated are the 4 Kumaras and Narad. Such authorities can by nature understand the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But a conditioned soul not freed from the influence of material nature is unable to realize the Supreme. In Bhagavad Gita, therefore, Krishna advises Arjuna, Trigunya Vishaya Veda Nistrigunya Ubhavarjuna. One must rise above the influence of the 3 modes of material nature. One who stays within the influence of the 3 modes, material modes, is unable to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Next verse. O completely peaceful Lord. So this is what one who is beyond the 3 modes of material nature When he sees the Lord, this is what he sees. When in the material modes of material nature, he sees himself, basically. When he sees the Lord, he sees a material body, basically. But one who is pure or sage actually sees the transcendental Lord. What does he see? Oh, completely peaceful Lord, although material nature, fruit of activities, and their consequent material names and forms are your creation, you are unaffected by them. This is the meaning of transcendental. It means beyond. Beyond what? Beyond matter. Beyond everything tinged by matter. So the Lord is transcendental. You're unaffected by the modes that affect me. Therefore your transcendental name is different from material names. And your form is different from material forms. Even though it may appear to be the same. Krishna. May appear to be, you can write it on a paper, you can speak it with a material tongue. It appears to be matter, but it isn't. It's different. Your form is different, he's saying. You assume a form resembling a material body just to give us instructions like those of Bhagavad Gita. But actually, you are the original, the supreme original person. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you. This is the vision of a sage, one who is pure and beyond the modes. Purport. Sri Yamuna Acharya, a great Vaishnava teacher, has recited this verse in his Stotra Ratna. Bhavantam evanucharam narantara prasanta nishesha manoratantara kadaham aikantika nityakinkara praharshayishyami sanatta jivitam. By serving you constantly, one is freed from all material desires and is completely pacified. When shall I engage as your permanent eternal servant and always feel joyful to have such a fitting master? This is the desire, a pure desire. Because we, by nature, must desire. We can't stop desiring. It's the nature of the soul. Even one who is desiring to stop desiring is desiring. It's unavoidable. The nature of the soul is to desire. So what to desire? A wonderful prayer of desiring by this great Yamuna Acharya in his Stotra Ratna. Manoratain asati davato bahi. One who acts on the mental platform must descend to material activities. Material contamination, however, is completely absent from the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His pure devotee. Therefore the Lord is addressed as Prashanta, completely peaceful, free from the disturbances of material existence. The Supreme Lord has no material name or form. Only the foolish think that the Lord's name and form are material. Avajanantimam mudha manushyam tanamashritam. The identity of the Supreme Lord is that He is the original person. Nonetheless, those who have a poor fund of knowledge think that the Lord is formless. The Lord is formless in the material sense, meaning that He has no material form, but He has a transcendental form, Satchidananda Vigraha, composed out of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. But only one, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Valochanena, Shanta Sadaiva Riddhyeshu Valokayanti, only one whose heart is pure, a saint, he can see the Lord. But this is what he sees. Transcendental Lord, whose body is effulgent and composed of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. This is Krishna. And we will meet him personally in Canto 10. Although he has a form, it is not a material form. So we have to hear this again and again and learn this lesson clearly. Otherwise we will mistake Krishna's form when he's herding the cows, when he takes his birth, when he's stealing butter. All these pastimes we'll think are material. Oh my Lord, this is Amsumana's praying. Those whose hearts are bewildered by the influence of lust, greed, envy, and illusion are interested only in false hearth and home in this world created by your Maya. So what is the influence if one cannot see the Lord is covered by the modes of material nature? What is the effect of those modes upon him? Interested in falsity and illusion, trying to acquire happiness where it truly does not exist in this world created by Maya, that which is not the Lord's illusory energy. Attached to home, wife, and children, they wander in this material world perpetually. So much illusion. Now he prays, but O super soul of all living entities, O personality of Godhead, simply by seeing you, I have now been freed from all lusty desires, which are the root cause of insurmountable illusion and bondage in the material world. This desire, I want, the attraction for the objects of the senses. This is the cause of the illusion and future repeated births and deaths. But he's saying, now I've seen you. Interestingly, that his uncles, the sons of Sagara, 60,000, they saw Kapila also, but actually they weren't seeing him at all. They immediately thought he was the culprit. So look at the difference in the consciousness of this one. This Amsum, because he was pure, as soon as he saw the Lord, he understood who the Lord was, and even still more purified. So therefore, if we wish to actually see the Lord in the 10th canto, we have to become purified. I've been freed from this desire. Bhungte prakriti jani ha karanam guna sangasya sarasad joni janmasu. The desires that keep me enwrapped in the material world, birth after birth after birth, the desires to enjoy, to be the enjoyer. Now Sukadev Goswami continues speaking to Prickit Maharaj. When Amsuman had glorified the Lord in this way, the great sage Kapila, the powerful incarnation of Vishnu, being merciful, very merciful to him, explained to him the path of knowledge. The personality of God had said, "My dear Amsuman, here is the animal sought by your grandfather for sacrifice. Please take it. As for your forefathers, who have been burnt to ashes, they can be delivered only by Ganges water and not by any other means." Thereafter, Amsuman circumambulated Kapila Muni and offered him respectful obeisances, bowing his head. After fully satisfying him in this way, Amsuman brought back the horse meant for sacrifice, and with this horse, Maharaj Sagara performed the remaining ritualistic ceremonies. After delivering charge of his kingdom to Amsuman, because he was so pure, and thus being freed from all material anxiety and bondage, Sagara Maharaj followed the means instructed by Orva Muni, following the means by his spiritual master Orva Muni, he achieved the supreme destination. So that pastime is over, except for the fact that the descendants or the sons of Sagara Maharaj, the uncles of Amsuman, were in ashes and they could be delivered only by the Ganges. Now what to do about that? Chapter 9 is entitled The Dynasty of Amsuman. So the descendants continue. Sukadev Goswami continued, King Amsuman, like his grandfather, performed austerities for a very long time. Nonetheless, he could not bring the Ganges to the material world, and thereafter, in due course of time, he died. Like Amsuman himself, Dilipa, his son, was unable to bring the Ganges to the material world, and he also became a victim of death in due course of time. Then Dilipa's son, Bhagiratha, performed very severe austerities to bring the Ganges to the material world. Thereafter, Mother Ganges appeared before King Bhagiratha and said, "I am very much satisfied with your austerities and am now prepared to give you benedictions as you desire." Being thus addressed by Ganga Devi, Mother Ganges, the king bowed his head before her and explained his desire. So he desired to for the Ganges to come to deliver, so his forefathers could be delivered. Because due to their disrespecting, they were burnt to ashes due to disrespecting Kapila Muni. So he bowed his head and explained to her his desire that she descend. Mother Ganges replied, so she had two questions or two problems with coming to the earth. Raise your hand if you've bathed in the Ganges. Yeah? Where?
Lakshmanjula.
Where?
Lakshmanjula.
Oh, yes, in Rishikesh. Cold. Kalindi, did you bathe in the Kalindi? Yes. Did you bathe in the Ganges too? Oh, that's very good. So Mother Ganges had two problems with coming to the earth. When I fall from the sky to the surface of the planet earth, the water will certainly be very forceful. Who will sustain that force? If I'm not sustained, I shall pierce the surface of the earth and go down to Rasatala and Patala region of the universe. So she's wondering, how will I get down in a gentle way? And second, O king, I do not wish to go down to the planet earth, for there the people in general will bathe in my waters to cleanse themselves of the reactions of their sinful deeds. When all these sinful reactions accumulate in me, how shall I become free from them? You must consider this very carefully. Prabhupada's purport to that verse. The Supreme Personality of Godhead says, Savadamam prityaja mamekam sharanam vaja aham tvam sava papevyo mokshesham imasucha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. The Supreme Personality of Godhead can accept the reactions of anyone's sinful deeds and neutralize them because he is pavitra, pure, like the sun, which is never contaminated by any worldly infection. So when the sun shines down its rays on a sewer or a filthy place, what happens is that filthy place is purified, but the sun is never contaminated. So that is due to the power, the purifying power of the sun, so powerful. So similarly, Krishna is like that. When he contacts the impurities of someone, that person is purified and he is not contaminated. Tejasam nadoshaya vanes savabujo yata. One who is very powerful, this is from the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 33rd chapter, 29th verse. One who is very powerful is not affected by any sinful activity. But here we see that Mother Ganges fears being burdened with the sins of the people in general who would bathe in her waters. This indicates that no one but the Supreme Personality of Godhead is able to neutralize the reactions of sinful deeds, whether one's own or those of others. Sometimes the spiritual master, after accepting a disciple, must take charge of that disciple's past sinful activities, and being overloaded must sometimes suffer, if not fully, then partially, for the sinful acts of the disciple. Every disciple, therefore, must be very careful not to commit sinful activities after initiation. The poor spiritual master is kind and merciful enough to accept a disciple and partially suffer for that disciple's sinful activities. But Krishna, being merciful to his servant, neutralizes the reactions of sinful deeds for the servant who engages in preaching his glories. Even Mother Ganges feared the sinful reactions of the people in general and was anxious about how she would counteract the burden of these sins. Prabhupada recommended preaching all the time. So many times that was the purpose of the whole society, actually, to preach. And he even said, without preaching, the whole institution becomes rubbish. And what happens is the sinful reactions that are due to one overtakes one, and if one preaches, then they are neutralized. That's what Prabhupada says. Because Krishna is being merciful, out of, by Krishna's mercy, he neutralizes that. I heard a tape of a Catholic priest speaking, who had started an institution somewhere in the United States, and it was this was maybe 20 years ago, and it was very, very successful, and so many young people. After all the young people joined, he said everything was really wonderful and happy and blissful and everything. And then what happened was the young boys and the young girls wanted to get married, naturally. And then he said things got very complicated, naturally. And because he was a Catholic priest, he didn't have all the experience. He got it, he said, gradually, by talking to everyone. But it was complicated. And then everyone started talking only about how bad relationships were, and that they started working on their relationships. And the more that they worked on their relationships, the more complicated it became, and the worse the relationships became. And everyone became very internalized and like that, and it wasn't actually solving the problems. And then at one point he said, after years of that and all the fighting and everyone talking about how we have to rectify our relationships, he said someone had the idea they should start preaching again. And then everything was immediately straightened out, he said. Sound familiar? But he didn't stay there either. He left after a while. He left it to the... because the young ones wanted more responsibility, so he moved on and did something else. So even Mother Ganges feared the sinful reactions of the people in general, was anxious about how she would counteract the burdens of these sins. So Bhagiratha then replied to her, because she had two doubts about her coming to the earth. Those who are saintly because of devotional service and are therefore in the renounced order, freed from material desires, and who are pure devotees, expert in following the regulative principles mentioned in the Vedas, are always glorious and pure in behavior and are able to deliver all fallen souls. When such pure devotees bathe in your waters, the sinful reactions accumulated from other people will certainly be counteracted. For such devotees always keep in the core of their hearts the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can vanquish all sinful reactions. Okay, we'll stop here. But that was her prescription, how Mother Ganges was going to be protected, her own sins removed, by the association of pure devotees, by the glance of the pure devotees, by the bathing of the pure devotees in her waters. So, Krishna willing, we shall pick up here tomorrow. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes?
That's a point you mentioned about when one is trying to renounce, everyone becomes attracted. I missed the critical thing that you're trying to explain.
It was not Amsuman, but his father, right? He was renounced. He was like Jad Bharat. He didn't want to get entangled by bad association. So he wanted to leave association. So if he said, I'm leaving, then everyone naturally becomes attracted. Because people are attracted to renunciation, and people are attracted to what they can't have, what seems beyond their grasp. So instead of doing that, he acted in such a way they would tell him to get out, to exile him. So then he did what he wanted. That was the simple point. But then he brought everyone back to life, and then they missed him again. Then they could understand what he had done. Any other questions or comments? How many times did you bathe in the Kalindi River? Kalindi? How many is that? You have such long fingers. Did you ever notice that? Do you play the piano? No. Okay. 5 times you bathed in the moon. How many times in the Ganges? So many? I remember the first time I went to India, to Mayapur, I had a very secret fear in my heart because I was brought up by the ocean in New York. And I was afraid, what happens if I go to the Ganges and bathe in the Ganges and it feels just like the ocean? And it's, if I don't feel it any different, what will happen? But then after bathing in the Ganges, I noted that it didn't at all feel like that. It was very, very, very special. Very purifying. Very purifying. Did you ever bathe in the Ganges? One time? 2 times? Many times. So many times. 100 times? 200 times? Every day. For how long? No, but for how many years? Every day? But for how many years did you do that every day? 10 years. That's good.
One time
what? Scared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So wind blind. And Mother Ganges look like ocean.
Yeah, so big.
And sometimes so current.
Yes.
And the whole
big whirlpool, and they can take you down.
And one, me and other people are on the every time go look like pretty happy the swimming. Big cloud
come
up. Big cloud. Yeah, cloud. Big wind and storm then. I can't die. I go under
the water. Oh, it pulled you down.
Yeah, but I cannot.
Did you come up? Mother Ganges gave you back.
They give the Gamsa. The long Gamsa, that's put look at the thing. And the jump, and the port, please, it can't
happen. They pulled you out. The devotee saved you. Yeah.
Many people left the Ganges.
Yeah. Okay, are there any other questions? Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Kapila Muni ki jai, Mother Ganges ki jai.